Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
From the fury of the Northmen, O Lord, deliver us, would have been a common prayer to fall from the lips of a late 9th century Irish monk. Indeed, from the 793 raid on Lindisfarne, to the 845 sack of Paris, to the 980 discovery of Greenland, and beyond, for an age the Vikings fought harder and sailed farther than anyone, exploring, pillaging, and settling the lands of northern and western Europe, as well as the islands of the North Atlantic. It has been nearly 1,000 years since the Vikings carried out their last raids on the Christian kingdoms of Europe, and still, they continue to fascinate us. From hit TV shows to comic book characters, the Vikings and their gods are still very much a part of our world. Yet the Vikings are often a people defined through the terrified eyes of their victims and reduced to the basest caricatures. However, the Norse were so much more than just bloodthirsty savages, as the monks who chronicled their raids have portrayed them. They had a vibrant culture of their own, and Noah Tetzner, in his History of the Vikings podcast, is determined to weave together his subjects' legendary stories, vibrant myths, and rich history in order to tell the history of the Vikings from their perspective, rather than just as the savage demons of some priest's nightmare. So please join me now in welcoming Noah Tetzner to The Exchange. Hi, Noah.
Hey, Tom. Thanks for having me on.
I'm very glad to have you. So, Noah, you know, I've been looking forward to this for many reasons that we'll talk about. But listening to your podcast, The History of the Vikings, has really brought back to me a lot of memories of how much I loved these stories growing up. And suddenly now, through your podcast, I'm recalling things that I'd completely forgotten about, like how much my dad loved the old 50s movies with Kirk Douglas, this wonderful illustrated Norse mythology book my third grade teacher read us, and it's really been a trip for me. So I wanted to ask you, do you also have this long-standing fascination with Vikings in your background?
Oh, absolutely, Tom. You know, I've always been a huge history buff growing up my whole life. I've always loved history, and I've always been particularly interested in the Napoleonic era, ironically. But I recently, earlier last year, discovered the Vikings and discovered the Norse myths and the primary sources where we get the Norse myths from, the old Icelandic texts and the various Eddas and the prose Edda and the poetic Edda. And I just found myself so enamored by these myths and, you know, the characters of Norse mythology, Thor, Odin, and Loki, and the events of Ragnarok are things that are known by a lot of Americans by name because of the Marvel comics and the more recent Marvel movies. But when you study the Norse myths, it's fascinating to be able to see that the characters of Thor, Odin, and Loki are nothing like they are in Norse myth when how Marvel portrays them. So
believe it or not, they're not some type of space alien.
Exactly. No, but I've always loved Norse mythology. I continuously, regularly, I'm always enamored by the Norse myths as I research them and read the original sources when writing my podcast episodes about them. But yeah, I've always quite liked the Vikings and always loved Norse mythology.
Great. You know, I always like drilling down into people's motivations. It's sort of a running gag in podcasting that anybody can start a podcast. And I mean, that's not entirely untrue. You know, there's no vetting process. Whatever technical hurdles actually exist are pretty easy to overcome just by Googling around. But producing infotainment podcasts, such as Ben Jacobs calls nonfiction, especially history podcasts, is a lot of hard work. And you have to really be passionate about the project, I find, that you're working on. You know, it's not as easy as some of the pop culture podcasts who four guys just switch on a mic and talk for 20 minutes and call it a show.
Right.
So I want to know, what gave you the motivation to take that leap into this sort of podcasting? Obviously, you have the interest in Vikings and Viking culture, but was there some other thing driving you?
Well, you know, I started this show, The History of Vikings. It's only about a month old, so it's a fairly new show. But thankfully, I've really hit the ground running, and a lot of people have taken interest into it. So that's been great to see. But you know, if podcasting has been something that I've thought about quite a lot, because I started listening to podcasts with my dad, actually, just various business related shows and a few political shows, and certainly history podcasts as well, starting probably like 5 years ago. And that had always been something that I had wanted to do, is to start a podcast. And ironically, when I attempted to start a podcast, I thought I was going to do politics, but naturally that didn't happen, simply because I really evaluated myself there, and I found history to be my true passion. That, and I thought it more beneficial to people if we dwell upon the positive things of the past, and I really wanted to recreate the stories and retell the Norse myths and these legendary stories that have enamored this culture of people known as the Vikings. So I really wanted to do that, but other than just a deep passion for history and a deep passion for the Norse myths and for Vikings, that's my primary motivation for starting a podcast, as well as, and I guess this is rather selfish, but I have quite a few guests on my show, and we'll continue to have guests. And myself growing up, you know, not playing sports, being kind of a geek, you know, watching BBC history documentaries all summer long. These historians and these authors are really people that I have looked up to across the span of my childhood and even now. So I really wanted to have the opportunity to get to meet some of those people and get them on my show and have a conversation with them. So that's been really exciting. But no, I would say my primary motivation for starting the show is just that, a deep passion for history and really to create something that I can connect with like-minded history lovers, if you will.
Gotcha. Now, you're from the Green Bay area?
Yes.
Okay. So do you get any flack then for, living in Packers country and promoting Viking stuff?
That has come up once or twice. Yeah, ironically, there is a...
Really? It was a total joke.
No. There is a sort of irony in that. That's come up. One or two people on Twitter have teased me about that.
Oh, that's funny. All joking aside, though, were you at all intimidated to take on a topic like the Vikings, which it's not really been addressed much directly in its own right, but some big name podcasters have addressed it indirectly, like David Crowther, History of England, where the Vikings are a big antagonist for a great portion of the story.
Starting the podcast, I would say that I was not intimidated, because history has always been something that has come rather naturally to me. And I've always loved writing, and I've always loved talking about history with people. And unfortunately, in the Green Bay area, there's not too many people that are willing to talk history with you. So being able to start this podcast, I mean, no, it wasn't really intimidating for me. I mean, it is an interesting topic, because like you said, quite a few notable podcasts have covered Vikings in various episodes, but there's only like one or two out there that actually dwell upon the subject by itself. So, but I think it's something worth talking about. I think these people that we know today as the Vikings. I think they're worthy of having their own history podcast dedicated to them. You know, their great discoveries of and explorations. You know, they founded massive trading networks. They discovered North America. They revolutionized the way that we build ships, and their mythology and sort of folklore is still very much with us today. So I think they're certainly worthy of that.
I think I would agree for sure. And I think that is something, a distinction for your podcast that I want to highlight, because I think just the title History of Vikings almost sells what you're doing short a little bit. Because one of the cool things you do is you incorporate the stories of Norse mythology into your show. For instance, the death of Balder, which, like I said, I remember was just so great growing up. I was obsessed with it. You know, what was it? The ivy on the gates that no one thought to make promise not to hurt him. Like that's great. How important, in your opinion, is it for your listeners to hear the Vikings' own stories, do you think, if they're going to have an understanding of, say, the Vikings' worldview?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. And I would say that it is crucial, because I've said before in some of my podcast episodes, to understand the Vikings is to understand the mythos and their mythology and the gods they worshipped, you know? Although it's sort of unknown and we don't know that much as to how the Vikings actually went about worshiping their gods, you know, we sort of have some hints. There might have been some element of animal sacrifice, as well as there have been little pendants and little idols of the gods Freyr and Odin, as well as other gods. And they've certainly been depicted on the runestones as well. You know, I think that it's crucial in understanding them, because the Norse gods were ever present in the Vikings' lives. You know, upon my research, I've really discovered, you know, like the Northern Lights, you know, the auroras, which are very visible at nighttime sometimes in the Scandinavian countries. The Vikings actually believed those to be the reflections of the shields and armor and swords of the Valkyries, and of course, those are the female warrior shield maidens of Odin, as well as if there would be, you know, ravens, those could very well be one of the two ravens of Odin that he uses to survey the events of our world Midgard, that is our world Earth. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think they were ever present in the Vikings' lives. So I think it is very crucial to understand Norse mythology. And in understanding Norse mythology, you really do get a better understanding for the Vikings.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Yeah, because the counterpoint is most of the historical record that we have actually comes from their victims.
Right.
From frightened monks. And obviously you're going to have a very stilted view of Vikings if you're just relying on other European sources. Is there anything we have directly from the Vikings besides these that help us understand them?
You know, so there's, as far as the Vikings themselves, not necessarily the Norse myths, what we know about the Vikings, and unfortunately, we do know very little about the Vikings. Most of what we know about the Vikings, we are indeed balancing between the information we have from the Anglo-Saxons and the victims of the Vikings and the monks who wrote down the events of the raids on their monasteries and the Anglo-Saxon Chronicle. We're very much balancing that between our archaeological finds. There's been, fortunately, over 1,000 Viking burials found, so we can really get a good idea of what sort of tools they were using, what sort of foods they ate. So it's very much a balance between archaeology and the texts and writings of their victims. As far as the Vikings themselves, they didn't really write things down in the way that we understand today. And I would have to do more research on this. I'm not an expert on rune stones, but there have been various stones with certain symbols carved on them depicting some of the Norse myths, and as well as depicting various occurrences in Viking life. But yeah, that's primarily how we know the Vikings.
Yeah, because I think we all have a certain image in mind, you know, when we think of Vikings. And for me, right now, where I am in my life, it's Stoic the Vast from How to Train Your Dragon, something my daughter's really into. But who exactly were the Vikings, and what drove them to this amazing almost 300-year run of raiding, exploring, and warfare?
So the Vikings, first of all, let me just start by saying I'm sure many of our listeners are familiar with the enduring image of the Vikings as these fearless warriors and this warlike people of barbarians who dressed in blood-stained leather tunics and left their hair unkept and, you know, would drink mead from the skulls of their enemies. But that is indeed a very false narrative. You know, the Vikings obviously didn't have horned helmets or anything else like that. And the infamous two-headed axe, the two-headed Viking battle axe, is sort of a myth as well. They were much more fond of spears and swords, spears being the primary weapon of the Vikings. But I think the Vikings were very much an agricultural people, as were most of the people of Europe and the world, for that matter, at the time of the Middle Ages. As much as the Vikings were these warriors and these explorers and these traders, and certainly they would not hesitate to take up arms and go raid a nearby monastery if it meant benefiting themselves with the wealth there. But I think that the Vikings really were able to live a lifestyle that encompassed both elements of that, sort of a raiding lifestyle and a warrior lifestyle, equally paired with a more agricultural lifestyle, you know? So I would say that's who the Vikings were. They were primarily an agricultural people, concerned with putting foods on the table, you know, maintaining family honor, having lots of children, because unfortunately the child death rates were so high at the time, you know, making clothing, making ships. And this is sort of a side note, but I might add, when talking about the Vikings, it is rather important to mention that the women folk of the Vikings, right, the Viking women, were very much unlike the other women of Europe at the time, in that they had quite a lot of rights. They were able to sue for divorce. They were able to own property. They were managers of the household and were able to command the slaves. And the Viking word for slave is, of course, thrall. And women of other European factions at the time weren't able to do that. Women were solely in charge of the production of cloth, which, you know, there was, of course, no plastic during the Viking Age, and metal would have been expensive and difficult to make. So cloth was very much the plastic of the Middle Ages. So I think that's who the Vikings were. Although women did not have, you know, 100% equal rights to that of men, Viking women and Viking men were very much concerned with raising families and just sort of living everyday life, I would think.
Yeah. I mean, it's like saying that Spartan women had equal rights to men. Not quite true. They were well situated compared to the rest of the Greeks, as, you know, you say that Viking women are well situated comparatively to the rest of Europeans.
Yes.
But that's a very interesting observation, though. Now, I think something else about your podcast that I like is, unlike other strictly historical treatments, you're willing to engage in explorations of pop culture as it relates to your subject. we sort of touched on this a little earlier, but one of your episodes, you get into the video game Total War's treatment of the Viking Age. And very recently, you spoke with an author of a book series on a Viking king of Norway. So do you plan on expanding this? Do you plan on bringing in other types of pop culture into the conversation, like the Vikings TV show or The Last Kingdom, or as you mentioned, Marvel earlier, like Thor himself?
Yeah, I think I would consider it. And one thing I do when bringing in elements of pop culture and the Vikings and how they're portrayed in pop culture into my podcast is I do really strive for historical accuracy. And, you know, I wouldn't have let that author on had I not read his book already, and he was nice enough to send me a free copy. Mm. And it was very well researched and excellent in terms of historical accuracy. And in the Total War game, it's a computer game, Thrones of Britannia, takes place during the Viking Age. They actually hire, you know, historical consultants, historians to have on the team.
It's always nice when you can get one of those free books, right?
Yeah, that's awesome. Yes.
Now, I kind of want to talk about how Vikings are infiltrating, that sounds that sounds bad, but how they're really being infused into pop culture right now, as you've seen several examples. So I have a working theory. It's basically since the 50s, when you see James Dean, there's been this increasingly influential vein within society of people who want to root for rebels and rule breakers, you know, people who are willing to throw off the yoke of tradition to be free. And I think that's why we see romanticism of groups like the outlaw biker gangs or, you know, the swashbuckling pirates of the 17th and 18th centuries. And I think to an extent, Vikings. As I say, this is at least what I think. What are your thoughts?
You know, Tom, that's a very interesting theory. And I think I would have to agree with you on that. I think there is this sort of romanticism around rebellion and, you know, rule breaking. And we see that in, you know, the pirates, the Vikings. I'm trying to think of other examples, but it's very much present. So I think that's an interesting theory. But, you know, again, going back to who the Vikings really were, they were warriors and they were raiders, but they weren't really rebels. They weren't really rebelling against any sort of status quo. They weren't really rebelling against the norm that was Christianity. You know, there's not really any evidence for their raids being motivated by their paganistic beliefs and trying to honor the gods, although I'm sure the gods were honored in their raids. But yeah, no, I think that's a fair analysis. I would have to agree with you. And I was talking to a fellow Viking podcaster host, Angus of the show North by Northwest, a Viking history podcast. And we were talking about that same thing. You know, why is it that Vikings are so popular these days? And there's always been this fascination with various people groups from the past. You know, a lot of people aren't satisfied with modern life. So, you know, it goes back to the Victorians attending balls dressed as the ancient Greeks and Romans. And I think a lot of people are trying to recreate that more simpler Viking life nowadays, at least the ones who have done the research and understand who the Vikings really are.
Sort of search for authenticity in an overly materialistic world, if we want to get meta for a second.
Yeah.
I think that jives with my view quite a bit. That's good to know that I'm not out on a limb by myself.
Yeah.
I think as we're reaching sort of the end of our talk here, that I wonder if you would wax philosophical for me about what you think the relevant legacy of the Vikings and the Viking Age is. What do they mean to the modern world? You know, what do you think we should be taking from them?
Yeah, no, that's a real, I like that question. That's really deep. And I haven't thought about it enough, but thank you for bringing that up. You know, I think what we should take away from the Vikings are, I think we should just celebrate this fascinating people. That's what my podcast is dedicated to do. My podcast is dedicated to rediscovering the lost stories and the lost history of one of history's most legendary people. And, you know, I think that the fact that they were warriors is something that should be celebrated. These remarkable raids they went on are really quite fascinating, especially from a military history perspective, you know, a tactical perspective. But I'm actually in the process of writing a book about the Vikings, which I plan on hopefully it'll be done by this summer sometime. And it's going to be called Viking Life. And it's just the premise of the book is looking at the Vikings apart from being raiders, celebrating the simple yet fascinating everyday life of the Vikings, you know, how they went about raising families, how honor was incorporated into their lifestyles. You know, what kind of clothing did they wear? What kind of food did they eat? The traditions, the games that they played, the customs. So I think that their legacy as just being this remarkable people should is something to be celebrated. You know, I'm all for reliving history and honoring various peoples in history, but I think they are one for the books.
Well, Noah, it was great talking to you today. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your thoughts and your expertise and your passion for the Age of Vikings. Do you want to let people know where they can find your show?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for having me, Tom. It was a real pleasure to be here. But you guys can find my show. It's called The History of Vikings, wherever you listen to your podcasts, iTunes, of course, Google Play, Stitcher, or you can visit my website, and that's www.thehistoryofvikings.com.
Any social media presence?
Just Twitter at History of Viking.
Sounds good. I would certainly encourage everyone listening to this to go check that out. It's a great show, and I think everyone will enjoy it. All right, Noah. Well, again, thanks for coming by, and have a great day.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.